Good morning, Decatur, Illinois. This is Pastor Matthew Verseman of Trinity Lutheran Church in Decatur. Trinity Lutheran is located at 1960 East Johns Avenue in Decatur, and our worship service on Sunday morning is at 9 a.m., followed by Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:30 a.m. And we'd like to invite you to worship with us on Sundays, especially if you don't have a church home. Let us begin our worship service this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us confess our sins unto God our Father. I, a poor, miserable sinner, plead guilty before you, O Lord, of all of my sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name, O Lord, I have not honored as I should, and my worship and prayers have faltered greatly. I have not let your love have its way with me, Lord, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins, and I ask you to forgive me for the sake of Jesus Christ, my Savior. Amen. Upon this, your confession, I have the joy of telling you that God does love you, and in his love, he sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to the cross to die for you. And Jesus did die for you. Therefore, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 20, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's text is from Matthew 18 and from Genesis 50. And in Genesis 50, Joseph says to his brothers, "You meant what you did for evil, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, Joseph had every reason in the world to get even with his brothers. And he had a great opportunity. They had dumped him in a pit when he was 17 and sold him to slave traders who took him down to Egypt. And then they had the gall to tell their father he had been attacked by wild animals. Joseph wound up in Egypt, and in a classic rags-to-riches fashion, Joseph went from Pharaoh's prison to being second in command of all of Egypt, including Pharaoh's food supply during the famine that was coming. When famine hit the land of Israel, his brothers came to Egypt hat in hand to buy grain, not knowing they were dealing with their brother Joseph. But instead of getting even, like we oftentimes wish to do, Joseph forgave his brothers. He took them in along with their father Jacob, and he took care of them. And then father Jacob died, and now his brothers got worried. And they thought to themselves, payback time had come. With Jacob dead, Joseph would no doubt get even with them for what they had done to him. So they invoked the name of their dead father and said to Joseph, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, forgive the transgressions of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now," the brothers say, "please forgive the transgressions of the servants of the God of your father." At this, we're told, Joseph wept when he heard these words. He could have taken advantage of his brothers. He could have gotten even. but instead he forgave them. "Do not fear," Joseph said, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about what is now being accomplished, the saving of many lives, as you see today. Indeed, those brothers did mean it for evil. They wanted to kill Joseph. They sold him into slavery, and they could have cared less about their brother. And then they willingly, knowingly lied to their father, saying that he had been attacked by animals. But God used all of it for good, and he saved the sons of Israel from the famine through Joseph. And so Joseph became not only the savior of his brothers, but a picture of our Savior Jesus Christ, by whose death we receive life, by whose blood we receive forgiveness, by whose cross and resurrection we receive salvation. All of those things, Jesus' death, his shed blood, and his cross, were meant for evil, not only by the soldiers who drove the nails, but by all of us in our sins against God. An innocent man going to the most cruel of capital punishments, crucifixion. It's hard to conceive of greater evil done against someone, but God meant it for good. The saving of many lives, including yours and mine. Jesus died for the whole world. 1 Corinthians, Christ died for all. He accomplished your salvation and mine. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Today's message and our text are about forgiveness. Peter came to Jesus with a question. He had heard Jesus' teaching on forgiveness and prayer. He had said, and prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And they had heard Jesus say, if you do not forgive your brother when he sins against you, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Peter wondered, as we might all wonder, but how often should I forgive those who sin against me? When is enough enough? Isn't that interesting? We're always looking how little we can forgive, whereas Jesus is always looking how much he can forgive. How often will my brother sin against me, Peter said, and I forgive him? Peter remembered what his teachers in the synagogue had taught. They said three times. Three times you were obligated to forgive, but not a fourth. Peter even raised the ante to the next biblical lucky number, going from 3 to 7. Well, surely 7 times forgiving your brother when he sins against you would be enough. Who could ask for more than that? But Jesus said, no, not 7 times. I'll see your 7 and raise you 70 times 7. The point, if you're counting and keeping books, you're not forgiving. 1 Corinthians 13, love keeps no record of wrongs, remember? To underscore the idea, Jesus tells a parable. It's linked to the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, or forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wants to settle accounts with his servants. And there was a servant who owed an outrageous amount of money to the king, more than he could possibly pay back in thousands of lifetimes, kind of like the national debt of our country. Though this man couldn't just print money, the servant pleaded for mercy, and lo and behold, the king is merciful. And he wipes out the man's entire debt. He clears the books. And what does this forgiven servant go out and do? He finds a fellow servant who owed him a couple bucks, and he wraps his fingers around the man's neck and demands payment in full. So, when word gets back to the king is not happy. and he summons the forgiven servant and condemns him to prison until his debt is paid in full. Then Jesus says, "So also will my heavenly Father do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Think about that the next time you pray that. If you do not forgive your brother from your heart, it's about the heart, folks, which is not the seat of emotions. It's not about your feelings. Forgiveness is an intentional act from the heart. The heart is the place where sin has had its way from the sin-infected heart that we receive from our sinful parents all the way back to Adam and Eve, precede all sorts of sins, murder, theft, adultery, gossip, slander, you name it, Jesus tells us. If we are going to forgive from the heart, then our hearts must be changed, or we need a new heart. But we can't do that. But God can. Nothing is impossible with God. Forgiveness begins really not in our hearts, but in the merciful heart of God, in the heart of God that seeks and saves the lost sinners, in the heart of God that beats with compassion for the least and the lost and the last and the lowly, from the heart of God that reaches out to the ungodly and the enemy to forgive, from the heart of God which is patient, not wanting anyone to perish in sin, but wanting all to come to repentance and live. It's the heart of Jesus who taught us to pray, Father, or who prayed for us from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As Roman soldiers were driving nails through his hands and through his feet to crucify him, you meant this for evil, and so did I by our sins. But God meant it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. The source of forgiveness is the cross of Jesus, pouring out forgiveness on the entire world. No one's excluded. Our forgiveness is nothing else than Christ's forgiveness. The overflow of Christ's forgiveness flowing over to our neighbor. The king has wiped away your debt. The king has wiped away their debt. The law, with all of its demands and threats and punishments, have all been paid by Jesus in full. You are forgiven. Your brother is forgiven. And now God asks you to forgive them. Never say, "I can't forgive." You need to tell the truth. "I won't forgive." That's the honest truth. Forgiveness means letting go, releasing, leaving something be. So, which is easier, to hang on to something or to drop it? Imagine if you have a 200-pound weight. Which is easier, to hold on to it and carry it around or to drop it? Don't say, "I can't forgive." Admit the truth, confess the truth, and repent of it. "I won't forgive." Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Just this past week, we remembered September 11th. Remember that date years ago, 22 years ago, it was a Tuesday when the planes crashed into the World Trade Center buildings and the terrible loss of life that happened. And for a long time, we wanted there to be justice, and justice has a proper role. The Bible says, submit to the governing authorities, for they are God's servant who keep charge over you to punish evil and to reward those who do good. There is a place indeed for justice in order to maintain peace in our world. And yet, is it justice or getting even that comforts us? It's forgiveness. Do you believe that God can and does work all things for good to those who love him? Not that he trumps evil with good, but that he works good in, with, and under evil. We like to quote Romans 8, God works all things together for good to those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. We like to quote that as comfort to others, to assure them that God will work good somehow. But do we hear what he's saying? That God works all things together for all things. The good things, the bad things, the ugly things, the evil things. God works all things together for good to them that love him. The hurricane that wipes out your home, the drunk driver that slams into your car, and the terrorist who attacks your country. God works all things together for good to those who love him. The person who sins against you and hurts you and wants to harm you. We oftentimes don't forgive because we forget what debtors we are. The parable Jesus told us is intentionally absurd. No one but the federal government could amass that much debt as the first servant. But the point of the parable is the comparison. How small is the second debt by comparison to the first man's debt? How small the sins against you are compared with your sins against God? And yet, we act as though our sin is nothing compared with the sins of others against us. That's why we need to come back to the source again and again. We need to confess the truth of what we are, poor, miserable sinners. We need to hear that word of forgiveness echoing and drummed into our ears again, that we are forgiven for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior, before we go out into a forgiveness-starved world to forgive them. I tell all the couples preparing to get married that there are three words that are crucial to their marriage, three words they must say to each other intentionally, whether they feel like it or not, three words that must be said and heard, and the words are, I forgive you. Most couples think it's, I love you, and of course those are important words too, but without forgiveness, there will be no love. Love keeps no record of wrongs. The servant who was forgiven much could have been a reflection of his merciful king and had mercy on his servant. He could have tracked down his fellow servant, the one who owed him a few bucks, and forgiven his debt. And in so doing, they together would have enjoyed a big glass of the outrageous freedom of forgiveness. You see, letting go is liberating. God in Christ has let go of your debts, your sin. He let go of it. He dropped dead to it. Instead of reforming you and rehabilitating you, he simply forgives you and sets you free and gives you a new heart by the Holy Spirit, a heart beating with the forgiveness and love of Jesus. Forgiveness is an act of freedom. The prison doors have been thrown wide open. You are free to walk out of that tiny little cell of your unforgiveness as free men and free women in Christ. The books have been wiped clean, both yours and your neighbor's. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's freedom. That's the freedom of Christ's forgiveness. You are free to step out into this glorious land of liberty, the kingdom of heaven, the forgiving kingdom of Jesus Christ. But remember, this is a free kingdom, and the king is a bit crazy and has this outlandish tendency to forgive. And so you live in his freedom, and in the freedom of his forgiveness, and in his forgiving land, by forgiving others. His forgiveness propels you to forgive. Who suffers when you refuse to forgive? The person who has sinned against you, or you? It's you. You suffer when you refuse to forgive. Who is imprisoned when you refuse to forgive? You are the one who sinned against you. You are the one who is imprisoned. by your own unforgiveness? Whose actions and feelings are held captive? You are the person who sinned against you again and again. You see, to refuse to forgive is to go back into the prison cell of unforgiveness. Like that forgiven servant who wound up in debtor's prison until he could pay back the sum in full. The kingdom of heaven is about free people, freely forgiven, who now forgive freely for Jesus' sake. And it's so liberating. You meant it for evil. They may have meant it for evil. But God meant it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. That's faith talk on the part of Joseph. That's how a free man in Christ deals with his brothers who sin against him. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. And now, being free, you are free to forgive. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, we pray that you would put to death that sin that is within us, that refuses to forgive others, their molehills of sin, even after you have forgiven us our mountains of sin. We pray that you would put that vengeful, prideful spirit to death within us and enliven us again by your gospel of free forgiveness through your loving grace given to us in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. And may that love and forgiveness of Jesus have its way with us. May we be so enthralled and overcome by the complete forgiveness of our sins, which Jesus has given to us, that we want nothing other than for others, even those who have sinned against us, to be completely overcome and enthralled by the goodness of the forgiveness of sins that we ourselves have received from you, God, through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. Well, we thank you again for tuning in to the radio broadcast of Trinity Lutheran Church in Decatur, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran is located at 1960 East Johns Avenue on the southeast side of Decatur. Our Sunday morning worship service is at 9 a.m. with Sunday school and Bible classes following at 10:30 a.m., and we welcome you to please join us for worship, Sunday school, and Bible class, especially if you don't have a church home. We would love to see you. My name is Pastor Matthew Verseman, and I have the privilege of serving Trinity Lutheran. And now, may the Lord grant you a great day in Jesus Christ and a great week in Jesus Christ until we join together again next Sunday to receive our Lord's gifts from his merciful hand. God bless you.